1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump has unveiled plans for what he calls a Golden Dome missile shield.
In the campaign, I promised the American people that I would build a cutting-edge missile defense shield to protect our homeland from the threat of foreign missile attack. And that's what we're doing.
Trump was on Capitol Hill earlier pushing Republicans to back his budget plan. CBS's Nicole Killian.
Many Republicans I talked to feel energized by the president's presence here on Capitol Hill and remain optimistic that they can deliver him a win by the end of this week.
There is severe weather in the forecast for Kentucky. Governor Beshear toured areas already hard hit.
Conditions are so bad. We're working on an evacuation plan for these two hard-hit neighborhoods.
The administration says COVID shots will now be limited to people over 65 and those at risk of serious illness. For others, more data will be required. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammy McCormick.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Milwaukee Circuit Court Judge Hannah Dugan, charged with helping a man evade immigration officials, is now seeking donations to fund her defense. Lisa Hale reports.
She announced the fund Friday with a website saying that she will not take donations from Milwaukee County residents, attorneys who practice in the county, lobbyists, judges, county employees, or anyone with pending matters before any Milwaukee County judge. She also said that she will only take money from U.S. citizens. Her attorneys have called the case against her, quote, an unprecedented attack on the independent judiciary by the federal government, end quote. Dugan pleaded not guilty to the charges last week. Her attorneys have filed a motion to dismiss the case. The website for the fund is HannahDuganDefenseFund.org.
And something that isn't real could be legislated. Stuart J. Waddles tells us more.
Sharing AI-generated deepfake images could soon be a felony in Wisconsin. The state Senate approved a measure in a unanimous vote last week. The senator who authored the bill says the law is needed to keep up with technology and to protect people from harassment and intimidation. The bill now moves to the Assembly for further debate.
And Wisconsin U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin says House Republicans are planning to gut Medicaid to pay for tax cuts. Baldwin and fellow Senate Democrats say the proposed cuts will harm Wisconsinites who need help the most. In a bill introduced last week, Republicans plan to enforce a working requirement to qualify for Medicaid. Also, reduce the minimum staffing for nursing homes and require more frequent financial screenings for patients receiving aid. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
The Brewers with another win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. For the first time in 2 weeks, the Brewers with back-to-back wins. They beat the Orioles last night 5-4. William Contreras said he thought he just had an okay game, going 4-for-4, including the winning RBI. Pat Murphy.
William has very high expectations. No, he wasn't just good. He was great.
Game two of the series tonight. NFL, the Packers signed Matthew Golden to a four-year, $17.5 million contract guaranteed. Golden says he can now afford to buy back his grandmother's house in Texas, foreclosed a few years ago.
That's the house I grew up in when I was younger. You know, it got taken away from us a couple years ago. You know, just knowing that I'm in a position to be able to get that back for all my family. You know, that's something my grandma always wanted. Before my great-grandma died, you know, she always wanted one of her grandsons to make it to the NFL. You know, I'm the last one standing in, and I made it.
That's Packers rookie receiver Matthew Golden with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Windy and wet today, with winds gusting out of the east up to 30 to 40 miles per hour and high temperatures about 20 degrees cooler than average. We'll be hanging out today in the low 50s with scattered showers moving in and ramping up tonight. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 42.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The announcement by Republicans that they are removing 612 items from Governor Evers' proposed budget. Free school breakfast and lunches, extra money for PFAS monitoring. We've only scratched the surface of some 600 ideas investing in education, protecting consumers, and every one of those things is going to be taken out this week when Republicans meet to form their own budget.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Joining us next time, we'll be on location at Kopke's Greenhouse in the town of Dunn in Dane County, talking plants and Badger Honor Flight. Don't miss it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on air.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people. This is the Maggie Dawn Show.
We as Republicans, as Democrats, as independents, as liberals and conservatives,
get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
If it was bad before today, I cannot believe how much worse it has gotten.
If we don't band together and protest, our democracy will be gone.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
And I'm freaked the frickin' frack out.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth, here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. It is Tuesday, though it seems like it should be Friday. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Very pleased to have former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, host of Amicus Brief, a fine program you can find on the Civic Media Radio Network at 9 a.m. on Saturdays with me in the guest co-host chair for the first hour of today's program. Welcome again, Jim.
Maggie, so good to be here once again to talk about those nice fine things that you and I love so much, and all that legal language and all the papers that are flying around in the studio there and here as well. Glad to join
you. A flurry of paperwork. But listen, folks, we'll break it all down for you crystal clear. Jim and I are going to be digging into what appears to be a Supreme Court flip-flop. We had those pretty remarkable oral arguments on Thursday of last week in a case that substantively is about whether or not Donald Trump can invoke the Alien Enemies Act to deport people. But the particular procedural posture was really about whether or not a district court can enter a nationwide injunction. We're going to dig into that a little bit more. Of course, then on Friday, the Supreme Court, in its shadow docket, which is this sort of special emergency appeal lane that the Supreme Court has, stepped in and said, while we're considering the merits of the question relating to the Alien Enemies Act, the president cannot use the Alien Enemies Act to deport anyone, and actually provided that temporary relief on a nationwide basis, which ends up begging the question about what was going on Thursday, Jim. And then yesterday, in what some advocates are calling the single largest mass illegalization event in U.S. history, the Supreme Court greenlit, again, in its little emergency appeal lane, not fully hearing the case on its merits, but on this interim basis, greenlit the revocation of temporary protected status from 350,000 people in the United States who today woke up and maybe are subject to deportation. We will discuss all of this. All of that action, this technical legal action happening in the forefront or the backdrop, depending on which way you're viewing things here, of the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem testifying on Capitol Hill, both late last week and going into this week, in what I can say is simply a shocking display of ignorance at best, but at worst, a disdain for, I would call, two bedrock principles of every single democracy on Earth One. We're going to talk about that. We've got sound from those hearings. You're not going to want to go anywhere because, again, so much action then happening in the foreign policy landscape. We've got Marquette University Associate Professor of Political Science, Lowell Barrington. He's been on the show before. He's going to join us at 5 o'clock to help us understand the complete whipsaw that just happened in the Trump administration, like literally everything else that Donald Trump has been doing, whether it's on the economy, his deportation policies, or foreign policy. What he said a week ago ain't what he's saying today. What the heck is going on with Russia-Ukraine? Professor Barrington is going to help us understand. And last but certainly not least, our third incredibly special guest of the afternoon is just announced today. Civic Media, this fine program, has the exclusive interview with newly announced Supreme Court candidate Chris Taylor, current sitting appeals court judge Chris Taylor. We are so pleased to have Chris joining us this afternoon. This will be her first live interview after announcing her race for the Supreme Court. She's going to be facing off in 2026 against current sitting Justice Rebecca Bradley, who is literally my least favorite jurist in the entire state. We're going to discuss Chris's campaign, why she decided to throw her hat in the ring in what is to be and yet another incredibly contentious, highly politicized Supreme Court race.
Here we go right, Maggie? Here we go again.
It feels like so much happening this afternoon. Jim, let's just jump in. I'm very confused with what might be going on in the Supreme Court's collective mind, right? Because as I set up in the intro,
this morning and 10 minutes ago, all those things, right?
The arguments on Thursday before the court were whether or not a district court can grant nationwide relief in a way that provides constitutional protections or other relief to people who aren't parties to a lawsuit. Now, there is the old common law principle that courts decide the matter before them. But when you're dealing with questions of constitutional rights, of course, there are implications beyond the immediate parties because the courts are defining the interpretation of those constitutional rights. And if those rights attend to one, they attend to all in a very sort of logical way. The courts seem to be struggling with this, right? You and I discussed it a bit on Friday. But then late Friday, the court issues this emergency decision whereby on an interim, non-final basis, it itself gave national protections to all of these potential deportees and telling the Trump administration, no, you can't use the Alien Enemies Act to deport people. Jim, does this make any sense at all? What is going on here,
my friend? What is going on here? And yes, indeed, wouldn't you love to be a literal fly on the wall in these decisions? They do get together, plainly. You and I have talked about this before. Probably some horse dealing going on here, too, right? In major opinions, they do that all the time. We'll buy off this portion. I don't mean that in a bad sense, but we'll articulate our responses to this in this way and package it this way. And I think you hit on it. It probably is the Supreme Court on Friday getting increasingly with all of these judges that you have chronicled so well, all these judges saying, you know what? We're not at war. There's not an invasion. And basically looking at the text and saying, we are having a real problem with that. So stop that. Stop that. We'll get to it eventually, but we can't wrestle with that. Here, I think, again, yesterday, we've got, as you just indicated so well, we've got a Biden-era program, right? And that's maybe the key here. It's the temporary protected status program. Joe Biden puts this in place so that he can basically ensure that these 350,000, again, Venezuelan immigrants have a place in the United States of America. And there you've got a situation where it's an initiative of the administration. That administration is no longer in place. I don't want to compare it to DACA, but it's one of those kinds of things that administration appropriately would say, we need to deal with this problem in some way. We're going to fashion some relief. It may not be statutory as the Alien Enemies Act is, but this is a package that'll get us through. And they're looking at that and they're saying, well, at least under this one, yes, you're right. Kristi Noem, Homeland Security Secretary, does in fact have the right to go ahead on this. We know, however, again, we've got Ed Chen, who is the federal district court judge in San Francisco, who, looking at this, nonetheless, here's his language. He says this is unauthorized by law. It's arbitrary and capricious. It's motivated by unconstitutional animus. He's talking there about Kristi Noem's rescission of what Joe Biden has done. And so you've got a very clear statement there from, again, one federal judge. And you've got the Supreme Court then saying, not so much. We'll let this happen.
So, and I just want to correct something. The case that the Supreme Court was hearing oral arguments on Thursday was not the Alien Enemies Act.
It was not,
Act
no.
Case. It's
right.
Birthright citizenship case. But again, these are related concepts, all having to do with the Trump administration's efforts at mass deportation. So if you're just joining us, I've got Jim Santel with me. I'm Maggie Don. This is the Maggie Don Show. We're dealing with the series of actions and arguments that have been before the Supreme Court literally in exactly the last three business days. So Thursday, Friday, and then yesterday, Monday. Thursday, the Supreme Court considering in the birthright citizenship challenge whether or not a district court can issue a nationwide injunction prohibiting the Trump administration from executing, administering, processing, acting on its executive order, seemingly undoing a bedrock constitutional right that has been interpreted to provide, again, the right of U.S. citizenship to anyone born on U.S. land. It has been interpreted that way consistently for 127 years. Four Supreme Court cases have held it to be so over those 127 years. And the executive branch of government under both Republican and Democratic presidents have always acted in accordance with that interpretation. That was Thursday. On Friday, the Supreme Court intervened in its emergency appeals lane. It's the special lane without deciding the matter in full, decided that the Trump administration cannot use the Alien Enemies Act to deport people from the United States because we are not at war and there is not an active invasion ongoing that is being conducted by a foreign governmental power, which I'll say, duh,
right,
too.
Right.
And then yesterday, seemingly in somewhat contrarian fashion to issues one and two, the Supreme Court, again in its emergency appeals lane, reversing a prior intermediate order or intermediary order that prohibited Kristi Noem from basically revoking temporary protective status from 350,000 people here in the United States. The key there in that case, maybe the linchpin of explanation, is that that was a technical unilateral extension of TPS that had been done by former DHS Secretary Alexander Mayorkas under the Biden administration. So potentially looking at that through more of an administrative law, administrative procedure lens. But again, we're trying to make sense of all of this. I will simply note this, Jim, when it comes to this most recent action by the Supreme Court. In addition to the language from Judge Chen, and that's a U.S. District Court that first considered this temporary protective status order, he also said this, and ladies and gentlemen, this is what I want us to be truly concerned about and to focus our minds on, because we're going to listen to some of the language from Secretary Noem when we come back. Here's what Judge Chen wrote. Quote, when he originally found that revocation of temporary protected status would be unconstitutional, here's what he wrote, quote, generalization of criminality to the Venezuelan temporary protective status population as a whole is baseless and smacks of racism, predicated on generalized false stereotypes. Why is it okay for the government to deport people based on their race or their country of origin is the question fundamentally facing us as Americans. We're going to continue that discussion. 855-752-4842. Aren't we better than that?
We should be.
855-75-CIVIC. I say so too. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Come back with us.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
All across Wisconsin, destination marketing organizations are working to ensure that tourism in our state and your local community is stronger than ever. Because when you travel in Wisconsin, you see what our beautiful state has to offer. And now, more than ever, you see the importance of the travel and tourism industry and the impact it has on our community's small businesses, infrastructure, and economy. Destination marketing organizations statewide are working diligently to generate the economic benefits tourism has to offer and ensure that tourism in Wisconsin recovers better than ever. Their work to drive visitation, book meetings and conventions, and enhance the visitor experience not only encourages travelers to discover Wisconsin, it bolsters the economy, supports jobs, and it improves the quality of life for all Wisconsin residents. And you can do your part just by exploring Wisconsin yourselves or supporting your local destination marketing organization directly. To learn more about what Wisconsin's destination marketing organizations are doing, visit DestinationsWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I'm as guilty as anybody about this, not talking to real people in person. I'm sorry, I don't believe that texting or video conferencing or any other of that jazz can supplement one-on-one interaction. We as humans need other humans. We need to connect with people. So anyway, that's the public service announcement to start off the week. Get outside and talk to real live humans. You'll feel better.
Catch the Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, folks. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a fine guest co-host for the first hour with me. He's former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. We're both legal nerds, but we try to make it accessible to everybody. You want to join this discussion, 855-752-4842. Whether we're talking about the Alien Enemies Act case, or whether or not we're talking about birthright citizenship, or whether we're talking about temporary protected status. We've had three cases in the last three business days in some way, shape, or form before the Supreme Court, seemingly making decisions that aren't quite consistent. But underlying all of that, Jim, to me, is the most fundamental question that faces all of us as Americans. And that is, do we allocate basic rights based on someone's race or their country of origin? And to me, in my mind, Jim, we are at a place where everything that Republicans are saying, and they're not even Republicans anymore, that MAGAs are saying, is that, no, the president gets to use race and country of origin to actively discriminate and to decide who gets rights under the Constitution. That's what all of these cases boil down to at their root. In the temporary protected status case yesterday, Judge Chen, as I was reading right before the break, the district court judge that first ruled that what Secretary Noem is trying to do and the Trump administration is trying to do is basically racist. He said generalization of criminality to the Venezuelan temporary protected status population as a whole is baseless and smacks of racism predicated on generalized false stereotypes. The removal of birthright citizenship, which he can't do alone, is to prevent black and brown people from becoming citizens. Right. The invocation of the Alien Enemies Act is to directly target black and brown people from certain Central American countries. This is the allocation of rights based on someone's race and or their country of origin. It is anti-American. It is anti-democratic. Everything else is technical legal arguments.
Absolutely.
What do you say, Jim?
And to your excellent point about what Kristi Noem said a couple of days before Congress, this president has said what the Supreme Court said on July 1 of last year. It's not that race is not an issue out there, but there is a bigger issue, and that is simple power. We're in the presidency. It's the executive branch, and we can do whatever we want. Why? Because we have the Electoral College votes. The president is in power now, and he can do whatever he wants. It doesn't matter that this may have, whether it's a disparate impact, whether it's a direct impact on a population that, interestingly, once again, seeks protection, gets protection under that same 14th Amendment, the other language that we always talk about, equal protection of the laws, right? Due process. That's how we always think about the 14th Amendment. Now we got to think about the first phrase or so of that amendment. But this is ultimately about power. It's not because we are constrained in any way by precedent. We're simply doing it because we can and we will. That's the message.
Well, and here's the thing, Jim, right? It's the power in and of itself is an end, right? So there, the raw assertion, the raw power grab is an end. But the mechanism of using racism to justify it is literally the political mechanism by which it is made palatable to the majority, to not the majority, it's not even close to the majority.
It appeals to a group of people out there.
To tens of millions of Americans, right? Without the racism, that's the fig leaf, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, well, it's not actually taking your rights, so you don't have to worry about the power grab, right? Because the power grab is only targeting these other people over there. And that's the message that needs to start cutting through. When Secretary Noem evidently and obviously demonstrates utter ignorance or, at worst, contempt for fundamental constitutional protections, it isn't about those people over there, black and brown folks, anymore. They're just trying to get you to think it is. It's about your rights. It's about everyone's rights. And it's about basic American principles of decency, fairness, and yes, my friend, indeed, equality under the law at the very least. 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. I'm sorry, Jim, I cut you off.
No, no, not a core principle, right? And we also need to emphasize, as you have done in previous broadcasts, that this is about people. It's very easy for us to look at the numbers and say, 350,000 people. Wow, that's huge. That's the most ever. We forget that those individual people are individual people. So you got Judge Chen once again talking, and beyond his accurate depiction of this as racism, he says terminating the initiative would inflict irreparable harm on hundreds of thousands of persons whose lives, families, and livelihoods will be severely disrupted. Cost the United States, for those economists out there, here's your piece, cost the United States billions in economic activity and injure public health and safety in communities throughout the United States. This is as to individual harms that people will suffer. They have names, they have families, they have homes, they have jobs. And oh, by the way, again, if somehow you don't care about that, you need to care about that. But beyond that, if you're concerned, again, about your own safety and security, the community that you're living in, that's also what Judge Chen is saying. It doesn't get beyond you. At some point, it comes back, and oh, yes, indeed, economically, this could have
Do we not all bleed the same color? Breaking news right now. ICE has apparently put a dozen men on a flight to South Sudan. If you're unfamiliar with Sudan, this is a country in the brink, in the midst of a brutal civil war, apparently in direct defiance of a court order requiring ICE to give these men their due process to object to their deportation. Apparently, we again have airplanes in the air, litigators, lawyers for these men seeking emergency intervention by the Supreme, by a district court, citing the Supreme Court's decision on Monday to forbid the Trump administration from using the Alien Enemies Act. We're going to continue to follow this breaking news. Keep it locked. Jim and I have you covered. You got legal eagles in the seats today, folks. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Come back with us.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. A shelter-in-place order was issued at UW-Platteville last night. Savannah Tomeolson has more.
Officers responded to Wilgus Hall after a 911 call before 4 p.m. UW-Platteville Police Chief Joseph Hallman said officials determined it was not an active ongoing threat. While first responders were on scene, law enforcement activated safety protocols and alerted people on campus to shelter in place. Officials determined it was an isolated incident and there was no threat on campus. Hallman said the shelter-in-place alert was clear just after 5 p.m. Authorities said one person was taken to the hospital, but that's all the information they'd released Monday night. Hallman said the situation is fluid. University officials announced they were canceling all final exams for the UW-Platteville and UW-Baraboo campuses. They said they were setting up accommodations for any residents of Wilgus Hall. They added counseling services would be available for students.
And it was later released by UW officials that they are mourning the loss of two UW-Platteville students, Kelsey Martin, 22, of Beloit, and Hallie Helms, 22, of Baraboo. This incident was a targeted and isolated event between the two individuals. And milk from farms across the state will now have to be tested for the H5N1 virus or bird flu. The tests are a new requirement by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and could get underway later this week.
Roughly, you're looking at about 1,250 samples a week once we get rolling. So there will be a ramp up so that we have time to just make sure that we're getting samples in. There's no issues with the process.
Adam Brock is with the State Ag Department and says these tests are important to keep the milk supply safe. If the virus is found during testing, pasteurization will kill it, and the milk can still be used commercially. Those results will also help with treatment for the cows infected. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Mission Impossible opens in just 3 days and already has pulled in $12 million prior to its domestic release. Tom Cruise is on a press tour receiving standing ovations, and the latest is in New York, where Cruise addressed the crowd at the premiere. Cruise said it was director Christopher McQuarrie's idea 7 years ago to shoot Dead Reckoning Part 1 and the current Final Reckoning at the same time. He told the crowd it was an honor and a privilege to be part of the franchise. The film had its worldwide premiere at Cannes last week and also received a 5-minute standing ovation. It opens this Friday, May 23rd. More news out of the Cannes Film Festival, where fans of Wes Anderson will be thrilled to learn that he received almost an 8-minute standing ovation after the premiere of his film, The Phoenician Scheme. The film has an impressive ensemble cast, which includes Wisconsinite Willem Dafoe and Benicio del Toro in the lead. It's reviewing well and opens June 6th in the U.S. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy sky tonight, areas of rain and lows falling down to the low 40s. For tomorrow, more clouds, showers gradually diminishing but staying breezy, high mid-50s. Sunshine returns for Thursday and Friday and warmer, highs low 60s. It's 42 right now.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Hello, Bluey.
Talking with our pal, Stuart J. Waddles. This is an episode of Bluey that Stuart turned me on to. I like the show so much. Would it be weird if I left my wife, remarried, and had kids with someone else just so I could watch Bluey with my new set of kids?
I don't think it'd be that weird. I've heard a weirder.
You have?
Make a great story.
You get the exclusive.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, we start a new round of interviews with candidates for state Democratic Party chair with Devin Remiker, Joseph Pecky on Thursday, William Garcia on Friday.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Welcome back, everyone. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Very thankful to have with me former U.S. Attorney James Santel. We have a volume of breaking news. As we speak, ladies and gentlemen, it appears that the Trump administration, in defiance of multiple court orders, potentially in defiance of the Supreme Court itself, had a plane take off this morning for South Sudan, a country where human rights abuses of the most horrific kind have been normal, on the brink of yet another civil war, that there is a plane in the air with 12 men who, by the Supreme Court's multiple orders, are entitled to due process, and that these men are on this airplane on the way to South Sudan in violation of, again, Supreme Court orders and district court orders, including a review by the First Circuit Court of Appeals. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a number of courts in a number of related cases and decisions. The Trump administration defying them. We may be approaching, if we have not already met, the moment where we have a true constitutional crisis. We're going to try to keep you updated as the news comes in. Here is what we're seeing in some of the court filings, that last night, one of the men's attorneys was notified, apparently by an email from the man's wife, to legal counsel begging for assistance, that the man had been provided a notice that he was about to be removed to South Sudan. He is a Burmese national, does not speak English well. He refused to sign the notice of his deportation, which was provided to him only in English. Again, it is not sufficient. The courts that have looked at this, it is not sufficient to simply hand a person a piece of paper and say, ooh, gee whiz, that's due process. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not due process. And apparently lawyers learning that this morning that man was placed on this flight along with 11 other men, including men from Vietnam, Laos, Myanmar, Mexico, and Bolivia, being sent to South Sudan, not their country of origin, not a country that is a safe place. That, again, according to legal filings that we're just seeing now, that plane took off this morning. Lawyers arguing that these emergency filings that they are filing this afternoon in the district court in the First Circuit should not be necessary, that the actions by the Trump administration are in direct defiance. I am reading from the email dated this morning, dated this morning at 11:52 a.m. from one of the deportees' wives to legal counsel. I believe my husband and at least 10 other individuals were sent to the Port Isabel Detention Center in Los Fresnos, Texas, were deported to South Africa or Sudan early this morning. Yesterday, ICE gathered them together and told them that they intended to send them to South Africa. Everyone refused to sign the document presented. Later, ICE came back and said that they were going to send them to Sudan instead. I checked the ICE detainee locator, and my husband and another person from his group are no longer in the system. I called my husband's ICE officer and was told that he's been, quote, booked out, but the officer didn't know where he was sent. The order of removal signed by a judge is to deport my husband back to his country of origin, Vietnam, not to a third country. So, not sure exactly what's going on here. She ends the email, please help. They cannot be allowed to do this. This is not the first and won't be the last. If they keep getting away with it, I'm begging for your assistance. Wow.
Wow, indeed. Courts clear, unequivocally. The United States Supreme Court says you can't do this. You can't simply hand somebody a piece of paper and turn it into a receipt, like goods received, and say, just sign this. It's got to provide them with the due process, explaining in their own language what's going on here, giving them an opportunity to defend themselves, to present evidence. Of course, none of that even close in this situation. And we wonder out loud again in the wake of what happened, attempt to get some of the deportees to Libya recently, if this is somehow connected to that. But we do know, as you said, Maggie, we've got federal district court judges, appeals court judges. This one, his name is Brian Murphy. He is in Boston right there, and he is the one apparently is going to have a hearing scheduled long before this happened, as soon as tomorrow, on exactly what the government is doing to try to follow up on his clear directives about due process, notice before removing to a third country. If you were the attorney showing up tomorrow in front of that judge, explaining not only your client's complete failure to follow the unequivocally clear mandates of the court, you are in a whole lot of trouble. And then again, as you say, it's not insignificant to note we're sending them to South Sudan. We know a peace deal recently broke apart there. It collapsed. One of the worst situations, catastrophic civil war now, and we're sending people there of all places. Not that that makes the entire process legitimate, but it just adds more outrage, fuels this fire even more.
Well, there's a reason they would pick South Sudan, Jim, and it is to instill fear. Absolutely. All of this is a campaign of fear. This is to scare people into not vindicating their rights in court, into not seeking what is constitutionally guaranteed to all persons, not all citizens, and that is the right of due process. Speaking of these rights, we've got to take some of the sound of Secretary of Homeland Security, Ice Barbie, Kristi Noem, her complete lack of any working knowledge of basic constitutional procedures or terminology or the Constitution itself is simply unacceptable in a cabinet-level official, a Secretary of Homeland Security, whose job it is to know these things.
Yes.
Because your job is securing the security, homeland.
Security, safety, right? And again, you and I both say this all the time. You don't have to be a lawyer. We're not asking that everybody around the cabinet table be a lawyer. But you do have to assume, when you take these positions, some responsibility for understanding the basic rules and regulations and the basic human practices that go along with doing what your agency does. And she wasn't even close. She wasn't even close in her back and forth with some of the representatives there in the Congress. It is stunning. And again, it's simply this overt and unconditional statement that we can do it because we're in power. The president can do this.
Because we say we can. It's not just like a president. We can do this because we say we can. I want to be very clear about this breaking news involving these 12 men on a plane to South Sudan, including this gentleman that I've been describing. He is described in filings as NM by his initials. He was given a hearing with respect to removal to his country of origin. Once the decision, or it is being considered to remove him to a third country, meaning not his country of origin, it actually requires another notice and additional process. Again, part of the reason for this is the very sheer intimidation factor that comes with saying to someone, say it's you, hey, we're just going to send you to, I don't know, Iran and drop you off. Good luck with that. That's the kind of fear and intimidation that we're talking about here. Again, before anyone is deported to a country that is not their country of origin, you have to have written notice. You have to give them an opportunity in a hearing to raise fear of return or being placed in that country. You have to reopen the case if necessary. Again, at least 15 days for that potential deportee to move to reopen their deportation order. This is what is required. Again, court after court, and including not just the district courts, but appeals courts and the Supreme Court. Let's listen to Secretary of Homeland Security Ice Barbie herself playing dress up on Capitol Hill without having even a rudimentary, are you as smart as a fifth grader, understanding of habeas corpus. Let's take, this is, again, this is Kristi Noem and Senator Maggie Hassan, Democrat of New Hampshire, today before the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs.
So, Secretary Noem, what is habeas corpus?
Well, habeas corpus is a constitutional right that the president has to be able to remove people from this country
That's incorrect. Habeas corpus is the legal principle that requires that the government provide a public reason for detaining and imprisoning people. If not for that protection, the government could simply arrest people, including American citizens, and hold them indefinitely for no reason. Habeas corpus is the foundational right that separates free societies like America from police states like North Korea. As a senator from the Live Free or Die state, this matters a lot to me and my constituents and to all Americans. So, Secretary Noem, do you support the core protection that habeas corpus provides, that the government must provide a public reason in order to detain and imprison someone?
Yeah, I support habeas corpus. I also recognize that the President of the United States has the authority under the Constitution to decide if it should be suspended or not.
It has never been done without approval of Congress. Even Abraham Lincoln got retroactive approval from Congress.
Stunning, a stunning exchange. We've got a little civics instruction there again to somebody who is responsible for this at the highest levels. If there is any listener who is not outraged by that, you need to get outraged. Absolutely. This is somebody who couldn't even define what habeas corpus is, and yet her administration is one that's, again, doesn't care about the definition. We simply have this authority to do it, and so we're getting rid of people. She doesn't know what she's doing at all.
She doesn't know what she's doing. She doesn't know what's coming out of her mouth.
Right.
Because she has lacks any true understanding of these concepts. I've said to law students I've taught, I've said to young lawyers I've mentored, if you cannot simply and in plain language explain something, you don't understand it. The Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security for the land of the free and the home of the brave doesn't understand bedrock principles that ensure our freedom and our liberties. It is shameful, and it got worse. She then was questioned by Senator Andy Kemp, Democrat of New Jersey, and can't even name what freaking section of the Constitution discusses habeas corpus. Let's take a listen to this. This is Cut 24.
I'm going to just go back to something that was raised earlier about habeas corpus. Can you confirm to us that you understand that any suspension of habeas corpus requires an act of Congress?
President Lincoln executed habeas corpus in the past with a retroactive action by Congress. I believe that any president that was able to do that in the past, it should be afforded to our current day president. This president has never said he's going to do this. He's never communicated to me or his administration that they're going to consider suspending habeas corpus. But I do think the Constitution allows them the right to consider it.
when we saw what happened with how many times has habeas corpus been suspended in our country?
Once that I know of.
Four times.
For certain. I'm not certain if those were the
instance that you were referring to was one where the courts subsequently showed that Congress is the one that has the ability. Do you know what section of the Constitution the suspension clause of habeas corpus is in?
I do not. Nope.
Do you know which article it is in?
No, I do not, sir.
Okay. Well, it is in Article 1. Do you know which branch of government Article 1 outlines the tasks and the responsibilities for?
Yes.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The announcement by Republicans that they are removing 612 items from Governor Evers' proposed budget. Free school breakfast and lunches, extra money for PFAS monitoring. We've only scratched the surface of some 600 ideas investing in education, protecting consumers, and every one of those things is going to be taken out this week when Republicans meet to form their own budget.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wxco.fm/contest-terms. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. For time in memoriam, every organized grouping of people has had to decide one fundamental question about how they will live as a group of people. And that is, what individual rights will they give up to protect or to secure that group of people? It is fundamentally a collective action problem. It becomes a question of sovereign lands and borders and all of this. But fundamentally, at every point in time when a country's security is threatened, we could provide absolute security by establishing martial law, by putting the military into the streets, by rounding people up, by suspending habeas corpus. Yep, uh-huh. Secure? You betcha.
At what cost?
Secure, but are we free? Right? At what cost of liberty? These are the questions, again, every society in history, every government faces. And yes, security, safety, this is a good, this is a value that we all wish to pursue, that we all indeed as Americans are entitled to. But that good, that value in these moments does sometimes come to a head, comes into conflict with the idea of individual liberties. These are the very questions that our founding fathers were grappling with in the Declaration of Independence. They aren't, of course that's how it works, questions. We've got conservative Bob on my text line saying, was due process given to vet 15 illegal immigrants when they came into the United States? Of course not, Bob. They entered illegally. But the point is, if we wish to be the shining city on the hill, the exemplar of democracy for all of human history, and at least in this moment, then we have to abide by our founding principles. We have to, though difficult, though potentially distasteful to you, conservative Bob, we have to provide the rights that distinguish democracies from authoritarian dictatorships and oppressive governments like North Korea, Iran, and Russia. That means, yes, conservative Bob, due process for millions of people who may have entered here illegally. We can do both safety and individual rights. This is our calling. This is our commitment to one another as Americans. And conservative Bob, that, my friend, is patriotic in its most basic expression. And the fact that the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security doesn't understand the constitutional principles upon which the homeland was founded is an abomination. Sorry, diatribe over, Jim.
Not at all. It's an important one because, once again, we've got these people in the highest levels of government who plainly don't understand that. It is not a binary choice. You can do both of those
Correct.
Things, right? Right? And yes, indeed. The point is we give up certain things. Why? Because we live in a community. I cannot speed down I-94 going 140 miles an hour. Why? Because that threatens other people. There are limits on all kinds of things that we do because we live in a society of rules and regulations. And want to be safe and secure. I also have, if I am arrested, I have an individual right then to appear before a judge and explain if I can, I can't, and nor do I do that for what it's worth, why it is I was speeding at that level. We do both of those things, and we do them almost in the same breath. And that's what's also being lost in some of this conversation, that somehow one compromises the other, and absent giving this president the authority to pack people up, put them on planes, and send them overseas without any of this, it's not just because the Supreme Court says you have to do more than that. It's because it's right to do it. And yes, indeed, 238 years ago, that's the path we began on. You know, in Tim Snyder's book on tyranny, he talks about being a patriot. He says, set a good example of what America means for the generations to come. They will need it. This is one of those opportunities, my friend Maggie Wright, when we have an opportunity to set a good example if we survive beyond this administration and we can show people that we can do all these things at once. And we have done them for two centuries.
Conservative Bob says he doesn't want to be a shining city on a hill.
Okay.
Conservative Bob says Democrats are hypocrites because we're only worried about illegal immigrants when they come from South Africa. Conservative Bob, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. And I would respectfully suggest that you don't either, sir. Because here's the deal. If a president can wave a magic wand and, you know, abandon habeas corpus, then you, conservative Bob, could be picked up if, I don't know, I become president. And I could just disappear you because you disagree with me, and I have unilaterally deemed you a threat to the homeland, the shining city on a hill that I, as president, have now defined to be my objective, that your removal, conservative Bob, is actually necessary to protect the homeland. And guess what? You don't get anymore, conservative Bob, the right to be presented, your physical body in court, to challenge my deportation, my disappearing of you, conservative Bob, because that's the way constitutional rights work in democracies. They either are for all of us or they're for none of us. And you, conservative Bob, if you want to say that we can delete rights for people based on their race, based on whether or not you and MAGAs think that they're good enough, then we have no democracy at all. And if we have no democracy at all, if you won't stand up for these principles, which you claim to believe in, then what we have is authoritarianism.
Far from a shining city. Far from a shining city.
Jim, I can't believe it's like this seemingly every time we talk, and but here we are.
Here we are
friend.
Once again. I look forward to the future conversations, my friend, and the future outrage because it's appropriate.
Thanks so much. That's former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. Find his fine work on Saturday mornings, a program called Amicus, a legal brief from 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere because Donald Trump just pulled another flippity-floppity-flip-flip-flop again, threatening our national security. We're going to talk about it with Associate Professor of Political Science from Marquette University next here on the Maggie Dawn Show. His name is Lowell Barrington. We'll discuss the between Trump and Putin. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump has unveiled plans for his so-called Golden Dome missile shield. It'll cost taxpayers tens of billions of dollars and take years to become reality.
Did they ask you to do this?
Let me put it differently. I suggested it, and they all said, we love the idea.
It will put U.S. weapons in space for the first time. Earlier, Trump was on Capitol Hill meeting with Republicans and urging them to get on board with his budget plan. CBS's Nicole Killian.
He described this as a pep talk in terms of coming here to Capitol Hill. He insisted that Republicans are unified, and he expressed a lot of confidence about getting this package done.
Passengers on Southwest Airlines will soon be required to keep their portable chargers in plain sight while using because of concerns about lithium battery fires. That goes into effect May 28th. Other airlines may follow suit. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.